looking at the theme of join us for the better life. And by that, we're not trying to take the moral higher ground like you'd assume. It's not that we're saying that our life is better than your life, but we're trying to say, look, we're going after Jesus. We believe he is the embodiment of what it could be to be fully human here in this planet. We're going that way. Would you join us as we fix our eyes on Jesus? And would you come on that journey with us? So part of the big idea of what I'm going to share this evening as part of Join Us for the Better Life is come and see. They're Jesus' words in John 1. Come and see. And I want to just wrap it up in this phrase. So there's a couple of different ways to prepare a sermon. One thing could be like you're climbing a mountain and all of a sudden you hit the top and you get this beautiful view of the picture the person was trying to paint with their words. But we're going to do something different this evening. It's like you're climbing up a castle. Imagine one of those spiral staircases. And I'm going to circle around one idea. And as we go up and up and up through the talk, I'm hoping that the picture begins to expand as we focus on this central thing of the greatest gift you can give anybody. And I mean anybody, not somebody like I've written up there. As I've thought about this, anybody. You can give this gift to yourself, to anybody. This side of heaven is an introduction to discover who Jesus is. So we're going to look at the Bible story in John 1. It'll appear on the screen behind me. And this is a story of a brother called Andrew bringing his brother Simon, who gets renamed, we know him more as Peter, one of the early disciples, to Jesus. This is the story of Jesus calling some of those early disciples to himself. And the words will appear on the screen behind me. I'm going to read off the screen. John 1, verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, that John, by the way, is John the Baptist. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We've found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. So they're having a conversation in this story. One disciple, early follower of Jesus, brings his brother to come and see Jesus. And what I want to do just as part of like a study in these verses before I tell something of my story is I want us to get us to think like a first century Jew. Jewish person, because it'll help us to understand what's going on in this story. Thankfully, we don't have to become a Jewish person. Praise the Lord, all the men in the room. Hallelujah. Thank you. You know what I mean. But we don't have to become a Jewish person, but we do have to learn to think like a Jewish person. Paul, in his writings in the New Testament, is constantly getting people to do that. He's saying you don't have to be circumcised. Now some of you are starting to get it. You don't have to do that anymore, but you have to appreciate the whole Bible story. You have to know and begin to think like those of the time to be able to understand really what's going on and it to have meaning to us. So in this story, there are three declarations being made about Jesus when these people first meet him. And they tell us something uniquely about Jesus. The first one, you might have spotted it in verse 36. It said, "Behold, there is the Lamb of God." In other words, you might be able to connect that phrase with other parts of the Bible already. Maybe you can, your brain goes to the book of Exodus. Maybe you've seen the Disney movie of Moses leading the people out of Egypt when the people are in slavery. This language, this phrase, the Lamb of God, something that is designated for what is going to be the Redeemer of Israel, is connected into that ancient story. So when they're saying, "Look, the Lamb of God," in the mindset of the first century Jewish person, they're thinking that could be a person who is a Redeemer. That could be a person who sets us free from the very thing that is holding us back. In modern day parlance, maybe we'd call that sin. Could this Lamb of God be the sin destroyer? You know, in the church today, we've been gifted the whole of the Bible in Revelation. Just to connect this story in with the whole of the Bible, we have the picture of the victorious Lamb of God who has overcome all things, even death itself, who has, when he has completed what he has done, laid down with the lion as a symbol of his victory. He has accomplished his great work. Behold, look, verse 36, could this be the Lamb of God? The next thing they say is, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And Jesus replies, come and see. Now, there's lots and lots of things around Rabbi. We probably build it up in our minds to be this amazing thing that someone would dedicate themselves to follow this guru of the time. People would swap and change rabbis based on what they do. But here's what we can take away as people in our context here in Sheffield in the 21st century, that if you wanted to be a thinker, if you wanted to aspire, there was no universities of the time, so if you wanted to think about the deeper questions of life, you would find the opportunity to attach yourself to a rabbi. You would follow them. You would do as they did. You would live as they live, and you would listen to them speak about the big questions of life, faith, and meaning. And you would begin to walk in their ways. They call Jesus, verse 38, Rabbi, which means teacher. And then finally, another phrase is used about Jesus in this story. Verse 41, they call him the Messiah. They call him the Christ, the word that means anointed one, set apart for a task. We Christians believe that that meant that he was set apart to die on the cross for us and to rise again to new life, that we might have relationship with God, the anointed one, the Christ. But really, what the conversation would have gone like behind closed doors, we don't really know. It's not written down for us, but it could have gone a little bit something like this. One brother going to another brother, someone who knows him really well, someone he loves deeply. Would you come with me? I think I've found the person we've been waiting for. You see, the Jewish people had been waiting for this person to appear on the scene in history who would liberate a nation enslaved by rulers, who'd been beaten down, who'd been pushed to the margins of society, who had values imposed on them. They were waiting for a liberator. They had lots of questions about life, faith, and meaning. And one brother says to another brother, I think I've found the person we've been looking for. And verse 42 happens. He brings his brother to Jesus. Now, what I really want to focus on, that's just getting into the worldview. What I want to focus on in the rest of this talk is Jesus' reply to those three declarations about who he is. Verse 38, he replies to that question of, teacher, where are you staying? And his reply to them and his reply to us this evening is, come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come and see means this. It means come and think. You want to follow a rabbi? I'm not going to spoon feed you the answers. Come and see for yourself. Come and see the evidence of my life and make your own mind up. You see, this is the first time come and see happens in the Gospel of John. And it's going to happen again a few verses later in the story, just after this one, which someone else is going to unpack next week. Come and see, it says. I think we found the person. So there's these nervous disciples. They've heard it from John the Baptist as he proclaimed the Lamb of God, the one who is sent to save the world of their sin. And they're kind of nervous. They were told about this incredible person, so they begin to follow him. And Jesus replies, what do you want? Well, what they want to know more than anything at this point is, are the rumors true? Is it really true? Are you who they say the people are? And the interesting thing about Jesus's reply in this story is he doesn't demand belief at the moment he meets these brothers. He doesn't say, well, let me tell you who I am and you have to believe me. He also doesn't say, go and work it out and come back to me when you figured out the answer to your question. He says, come and watch me. Come and get to know me. Come and see how I live my life. Come and see how I speak to people. Come and see what I do. Join us for the better life. And can you see Jesus's tone here? It's not moral superiority, and it's not spiritual ambiguity. Look at Jesus' tone in these words, and let's not confuse it with what our experience of the tone of the church might be, because as someone who works for the church, let me confess in front of all of you, we get our tone wrong all the time, and people confuse us for the person of Jesus that we're trying to present. Jesus' tone here is initiating relationship. If Christianity, this Jesus lifestyle, this better life, was simply just a philosophical idea that could be worked out in isolation, then he could have sent them away to go and work it out. Wait for enlightenment. Wait for that epiphany moment. And not to pick a fight on other spiritualities tonight, but there is this sort of lie in our day and age that spirituality or the spiritual lifestyle is very relative, it's personal to you. We hear the phrase all the time, well, that's okay for you, but it's not okay for me. As long as that brings you hope, and that brings you assurance, and that brings you purpose, well, that's fine. Personal truth is king. And that's like a cop-out. It stops us from wrestling with difficulty. There's no critical thinking if we just subscribe to these modern-day new spiritual movements. Jesus doesn't do that to us. He doesn't give us permission to do that either. He says, don't just work it out in isolation. Come into relationship with me. Come and see how I do it. Come and think it through. Come and consider the evidence and let this evidence bear on your life. We call it truth often, the spiritual life, but really, when we're just following our heart or just finding something that works for our life, what we're really doing at best is living for convenience. As long as it doesn't offend my life, then I'll do it. At worst, we're just living for pleasure. As soon as it gets hard or tough, I'll just bin it and I'll pick up a new idea. Really, is that what we can do with truth? And surprisingly, on the other hand, he doesn't say to us what maybe many of us have experienced the church say to us, that we just have to not question it, we have to dogmatically believe it, and you have to do that because someone older and wiser than you is telling you so. No, Jesus doesn't say do that either. He doesn't say believe for the sake of believing. He says come and see. Come and think it through. Consider the evidence and decide for yourself. And this is really important because as I look around this room, I see a lot of university students. I see a lot of people who are aspiring to get a degree. I see people who've got a degree. Not everybody in the room, I'm very much aware of that. Everybody is welcome here, but I'm just being honest about what's in this room and young people who are in school, and I know some of you are aspiring to go to university. And it's important that we give space in faith for people to think, because that is what Jesus was doing with the first disciples. We write them off and say that they were fishermen and they were stupid. That isn't true of how Jesus is engaging them. He's saying, come and see, come and think, come and consider. So they follow him. Also, we read in verse 35. And this is an important detail because this is the second time they've been told Jesus is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist told them in verse 29, behold the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. But this is the first time where they chose to follow Jesus. They were excited, they were thrilled, and they joined the Jesus Christ fan club. Hands up for the Jesus Christ fan club. Amen. My experience of meeting some Christians who first lived like this was when I was 16. There was two boys in my school called Tom and Josh, and they became something of my best friends, and they were best men at our wedding. And there was something about these guys that I just knew. I couldn't articulate it at the time, but now I would say it's because they were spending time with Jesus. They'd been in his presence, and there was something about the way that they lived their lives that was different, and I wanted in, but I didn't know what questions to ask. I don't know about you, but my experience, well, of myself and of my friends is not everyone walks around asking ethereal questions all the time, like, why am I here, or what am I doing? But there are moments in our life when those moments do happen. On a night out, you just have that moment, a big question comes, and you go, why am I here? What's my purpose? Maybe you're here tonight in church and you don't know why you've come and you're asking the question, is this more than just sober karaoke? Our answer to you would be yes, it is, because we believe that the presence of God is here. Or maybe we've just had a baby. You can't help but ask those big questions about life when you have a baby and you're holding someone in your hands. Anyway, I'd noticed something about these boys and I just wanted in. So I started inviting myself where they were going. I started going along to the Friday night youth group because there was sugar and girls. I had lots of sugar. I had no girls, and not for lack of trying. And anyway, they invited me to something called Soul Survivor, and they told me it was a music festival. Turns out they lied, and it was a Christian conference for young people. And I was there, and loads of young people worshiping Jesus, and I just have this moment where I meet with God in worship, a little bit like tonight. I just met with God in worship, and I wanted in. So I made a commitment to follow Jesus that night with my friend Kirsty. I was 17, 2007, it was like the 23rd of August, and I've never looked back. So I came home, and I said to my mum, I've become a Christian. I want to take it seriously. I went to the youth worker. I've become a Christian. I want to take it seriously. What do you recommend that I do? And they said, well, we've got an Alpha course coming up. Why don't you do Alpha? And so I said, okay. And so rather than me telling you the rest of my story, I'm just going to put a video on. In 2014, with Alpha UK, I recorded my story with them. And so would you listen to this video? And then I'll come back up and I'll draw us to a close. This is my story. When I was a kid, life was actually pretty great. We all lived on the same estate. Nan and Grandad were at the top of the road. I had some cousins around the corner and another set around another corner. We were close. My family had never been to church. We never needed to. It wasn't even on our radar. A couple of friends I had at college, Josh and Tom, they had a faith, and I wanted to find out more, so a friend recommended Alpha. My mum found out I was going, and she wanted to come along too. And my reaction was the typical 17-year-old's, you know, you can't come, this is my thing. Eventually, I changed my mind. She had invited herself along, and then so did my nan. It was in the local church building, the heart of the community, and that's what it gave us, a picture of real community. As a family, we didn't really talk about the big things. So Alpha became this precious space where we had those deep, honest conversations. I've never been happier to have the family that I have, or to be the person that I am today. I found something that I didn't even realize I was missing. And so did my family. Got questions about life? Try Alpha. I noticed that Tom and Josh had something in their life, and I wanted to know more. So I became a Christian, told my family, and they noticed that my life began to change. And I think that was because I was spending time with Jesus, and they wanted to find out more. So they came along to Alpha, and I freaked out. I was like, I'm 17, you're cramping my style, mum and nan, you can't come. And they came anyway, because they're adults and I was a teenager. And Alpha was open to the public, so we came. And Alpha became this beautiful space in our week. I've got a brilliant family, and the way we kind of operate around meal times is we've got a TV in every room, so we all eat the same meal, but we eat in different spaces and watch our own programs. It's not how I choose to do family life now. But if that's your bag, we'll pray for you at the end. But Alpha became this one space in the week where we'd gather together and we'd share a meal. And we'd look, it was kind of one of the first opportunities I had with my mum and my nan to kind of look each other in the eyes and say, actually, what do you want your life to be about? What's important to you? And in the element of this, the Holy Spirit's at work. And my nan was in the middle of like intense chemo at the time, and she's losing all her hair, and my mum's heavily pregnant with my little sister, and bizarre time. And then there's a session on Alpha about healing, and these people pray for my nan, and she's having a checkup the next week. And then I'm thinking, oh man, this is so strange. Like, I become a Christian because I feel like I met with Jesus, but I didn't know all this stuff. I don't even know what I believe about this stuff. And anyway, long story short, my nan gets better, and I'm even more confused. And I tell that story because, and I know with chemotherapy, people can just bounce. They go from the lowest points to all of a sudden they're doing really well. And for some people, that's not their story. But it was my nan's. For me, it was just the timing of everything. We'd never really had a radar for this kind of stuff before. And just as we're really getting into Jesus, and we're talking about life, faith, and meaning, it just felt like for us, Jesus turned up in a big way in our family. And I began to change, and they began to change. And we give glory to God for it. I don't show that video to draw attention to myself. One thing I'm learning from this Bible story is that we all have questions, maybe not all the time, but a moment will come or is coming when you just have that moment where you're searching. And in this story, what we learn is the best thing to do is come and see. One brother brought another brother to Jesus. Verse 41, I think I've found the man we've been looking for. So he brought him to Jesus, verse 42. And Jesus' reply to the questions is, well, come and see. And I've just got a feeling as we read this story tonight, that's Jesus' invitation to you and to me. I don't know what your hopes are for 2020, but I hope you hear the sound of heaven tonight just whispering to you, come and see. Come and think it through. I'm not asking you to dogmatically believe. I'm asking you to wrestle with your faith, as I will. Alpha is just one of the amazing places we've got available this year in the church for us to get stuck in and to think through our faith. And if you aren't a Christian, a big invitation to you is it is an opportunity you can't afford to miss. I love this story. It's a Bible story that is close to my heart because I love it when people come and meet with Jesus for the first time. I was a reluctant evangelist at 16, 17. You guys look like you could be proactive evangelists over there. And my big prayer is that you just go into your schools and get up to all sorts of stuff in Jesus' name. Because people out there need to know this hope that you found in Jesus. I was reluctant when I was 16, 17, but my family found Jesus anyway. And in this story, there's a brother who brings his brother to Jesus. Come and see. And next week, we'll hear a story of another guy, Philip, who brings Nathaniel to Jesus with the same words, come and see. And Jesus' reply to you and me is, come. Come and you will see. That's our big invitation, is just to our friends, to our family members, as reluctant as we might be, we're just saying, come and see Jesus. Come and think for yourself. Come and consider him. Behold him. See how he lives. See what he does. See how he talks to people. See how he is kind. See the better life and decide for yourself.